Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. Welcome to the Jack Benny Show from 60 years ago. This episode is recorded at Nellis Air Force Base. And they do a lot of talking about jet planes, and at this point in time, in 1951, jet planes would be a fairly recent occurrence, and it's neat to hear kind of that new technology coming forth and how the gang reacts to it and things. I think that's always kind of fun to hear that stuff, and it reminds you of the time that you're in with these episodes. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. It has Mr. Kitzel in it, of course. Elliot Lewis makes an appearance in the episode. He was also on what our Thursday episode of the Jack Benny Show, so from 10 years earlier, so that's pretty cool. And, of course, Elliot Lewis is also plays Remley on the Phil Harris Show that we play every Sunday, and he also is the producer and director over on Suspense, so he's one busy guy. I'm surprised that in the 1951 season he had time to do a guest appearance, being as he's working on Suspense and the Phil Harris Show at the same time, but heck, he seemed to be good at juggling lots of different things. I hope you enjoy this episode, and we will see you next time.
65. The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
Don't be satisfied with smokes that never taste quite right. Choose Lucky Strike, there's better taste in every one you light. Absolutely. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
I love my Dan, he's quite a man and knows just what I like. He gives me better tasting smokes, you bet they're Lucky Strike.
And remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike, be happy, go Lucky Strike today.
Friends, if you want complete smoking enjoyment, just light up a Lucky, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette you've ever smoked. You see, fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you the enjoyment of a better-tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. Yes, every Lucky you light always gives you mildness, richness, truly better taste that add up to complete smoking enjoyment. So for everything you want in your cigarette, be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
From the Nellis Air Force Base, the Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're broadcasting from Nellis Air Base, right outside of Las Vegas. We wanted to bring you a slot machine, but since we can't, we bring you something else that doesn't pay off. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Yes, sirree. Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, isn't it exciting being here at... Hey, Don! Don, there goes one of those jet planes they have here.
Yeah!
Hey, there! Look at Don, there goes another one.
Well, they certainly fly low.
You're not kidding. This morning I was walking around the field here. One of them came so low it took my hair off.
Oh, Jack, you're not serious.
Yes, I am, Don. Somewhere up in the wild blue yonder is an F-84 with a blonde landing gear. But you know, Don, these jet planes amaze me. How can they go so fast?
Oh, it's really quite simple, Jack.
Simple?
Certainly. You see, on a jet in the air is drawn into the compressor and forced into the combustion chambers, where it mixes with the injected fuel and... Now, do you understand it, Jack?
Yes, yes, but I'd never be able to explain it to anybody. I've got a loose pivot tube. But, Don, it's not only the planes that amaze me. It's the fellas here. They seem so young, especially the officers.
Oh, you're right about that, Jack. In fact, the commanding officer, Colonel Tacon, is one of the youngest full colonels in the Air Force.
Oh, I didn't know that, Don. You say, oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hi, fellas.
Well, how do you like it up here, Mary? Oh, that's your line, Don. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take it, huh?
Well, Mary, instead of Jack asking you, I will. How do you like it up here? You enjoying your visit to the airbase?
Oh, very much, Don. But I guess I'm old-fashioned. Everything around here is so fast.
You're right, Mary. The planes here are the fastest in the world.
I was talking about the pilots.
Oh.
Mary, did you meet any of the pilots?
Yes, this morning. One of them took me up for a ride in a jet, and as we were speeding along, he asked me for a kiss, then kissed me.
Kissed you? Well, didn't you say no?
Certainly, but we were traveling faster than sound, and by the time my no caught up with us...
Wait a minute, Mary. These boys are faster than you are. Mary, listen. If you were traveling faster than sound, how could you hear what he asked you?
I caught that on the way back.
Well, now I'm all confused.
Oh, Jack, I'm just teasing you. The pilots here are very nice.
Yes, they are, Mary. And to show my appreciation for their hospitality, I brought along a present for Colonel Tacon.
Oh, what'd you get the Colonel, Jack?
An electric razor. It's a real good one.
He can't use that. He doesn't shave yet.
Oh, stop making things up. The colonel's not that young. He's 36. Just 3 years younger than I am. Who was that?
The colonel.
Oh, that was the colonel.
Yes, that was the colonel. He hates to think he's going to look like you in 3 short years.
Now, Mary, you can stop with that stuff. Sometimes... Hey, here comes another jet plane. It's coming right for the building. Don, open the window.
Got it.
Isn't that wonderful? Right through the Venetian blind.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Mary.
It's back on your head again, but the part's running from side to side.
Well, he'll probably come back to straighten it. I'm going to ask him to fly me to Salt Lake City. I have to be there Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Well, Dennis, are you enjoying yourself here at the base?
Yeah, but I'm worried. Where's the telephone? I want to call the police.
Call the police? Why?
Somebody stole the propellers off all the planes.
What?
Dennis, the planes here have no propellers. They're jets.
Well, how can anything fly without a propeller?
I wouldn't know, but the boys in Phil's band do it all the time.
Oh.
What have you been doing since you arrived, Dennis?
Oh, a lot of things. Yesterday, I took a boat cruise on Lake Mead. Gee, it was the most beautiful boat I ever saw.
What'd you say, Dennis?
I said he was the most beautiful boat I ever saw.
Dennis, you mean she was the most beautiful boat. You should know that.
Well, you'll have to forgive me. My mother only told me about the birds and the bees.
What?
I guess she wanted my father to tell me about boats.
Dennis, all boats are she's. There are no he's.
Then where did the little boats...
They built them! They built them! I'll stop asking silly questions and sing your song.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny.
Now what?
I just saw a picture of you and Mary on the cover of the latest issue of Look magazine.
Oh, our picture's on the cover of Look magazine? Well,
uh-huh.
What do you know? I didn't know that was out yet. Where'd you see it, Dennis?
It's sticking out of your pocket.
I must have put on Mary's coat by mistake. She's such a ham, you know? Now, Dennis, go ahead and sing your song, will
you?
Yes,
sir.
If I told a lie, if I made you cry, when I said goodbye, I'm sorry. From the bottom of my heart, I apologize. If I caused you pain, I know I'm to blame. Must have been insane, believe me. If I've made you blue, I've had heartaches too. Now I beg of you, forgive me. From the bottom of my heart, I
was I Apologize, sung by Dennis Day and accompanied by Phil Harris, whose orchestra just gave you the sound that everybody's trying to fly faster than. And now, fellas...
All right, break it up, will you? Get off of it. Let's knock it off.
Phil!
Break it up. Listen to me, Jackson. Don't be talking about my boys like that.
No?
They ain't so bad.
They ain't, eh? Well, I disagree, Phil. They is.
Jack's right, Phil. I think you ought to do something about the boys in your orchestra. They look awful.
Take a little easier, Liv. If I were you, I wouldn't say too much around here. You know, you're not so popular at this base.
What do you mean?
The fellas around here really have it in for you.
Oh, Phil, don't be ridiculous.
Well, all I know is there's a sign outside of one of them buildings that says, In for Mary.
That's infirmary! In for Mary.
It's a natural mistake for a chap who was in a spelling bee and was nosed out by the bee.
Never mind that. And, Phil, now that we have taken this short pause... for character identification. Well, why didn't you show up at rehearsal yesterday?
Well, I'm sorry, Jackson, but I was out on Lake Mead. And say, you ought to come out with me sometime. That fishing out there is great.
Well, I don't know, Phil. Lake Mead, that's 30 miles away. Isn't there any place closer?
Well, there's a river about 10 miles from here where I used to go fishing, but it's no good anymore because it's dried up.
You mean the water's all gone?
Jackson, that river's so dry, the salmon have to walk 6 miles up a dirt road to spawn.
No.
I don't get it.
What's the matter with you, kid? That's a funny joke. Don't you know nothing about salmon?
I don't even know about boats.
Quiet, Dennis. Phil, who else is going fishing?
Oh, Remley, my guitar player. I always take him with me. You know, when you hook them big fish, they put up an awful struggle, and that's where the teamwork comes in.
Teamwork?
Yeah, I haul them in as close as I can. Remley breathes on them, and they do the Tennessee waltz right into the...
A little ad-libby in there, huh? Well, I'll be darned.
Last time, Jackson, we had to throw one back.
Oh, too small?
No, he was under 21.
Oh, fine.
Say, Phil, did you catch anything while you were out on the lake this morning?
Yeah, Dante. I hooked a whopper. Wait a minute, I even got a picture of it. Here. Look at the size of that bass.
Let me see it, Phil.
Here you are.
Oh, isn't that cute? The bass is holding you up.
Yeah. You ought to see the size of the trout that took the picture.
Now, cut that out. You know, Phil, if you just open your eyes once in a while, you could... Excuse me. Come in. Well, Mr. Kitzel.
Howdy, partner.
Mr. Kessler, what are you doing here at Nellis Field?
Oh, I'm visiting my nephew. He's stationed here.
Oh, is he a pilot?
Is he a pilot? Yesterday, he got a 6-hour pass and visited his girl in Cleveland. He went 500 miles an hour.
In a jet?
No, in a Jeep.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Kitzel. How could a Jeep possibly go that fast?
When you're stationed at Nellis and get a pass, the Jeep is as anxious to get away as you are.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, I'd like to meet your nephew. Is he on the base?
Yes, in fact, right now he's busy cleaning up the grounds.
Oh.
My nephew walks all over the base. He's got a stick with a nail on the end of it.
A stick with a... Oh, he uses it to pick up trash.
Officially, he is known as a waste paper croupier.
Well, that's a nice way to put it.
Yes. Well, I got to be toddling along. So long, partner.
So long.
Off I go into the wild blue yonder.
And now, fellas, in honor of Nellis Air Base, I'd like...
Oh, just a second, Jack. Hold it.
What is it, Don?
Well, if anybody's going to do anything in honor of the base here, it should be the Sportsman Quartet.
The Quartet?
Yeah, they've prepared a special number for this occasion. All about the boys here.
Well, let's hear it. Come on.
All of the fellas now stationed at Nellis, a furlough is a boy's best friend. The ground crews and flyers have many desires, but the first they'd say, let's get away for just one day. In the sky they love to fly, but the moment they start to descend, they can't help but wonder, has she changed her number? A furlough is a boy's best friend. Want to relax and you may feel like smoking, a Lucky Strike is your best friend. So smooth and so mild that we know you'll be wild about them, sure enough. There's no rough puff, no puff is rough, fine and light, they taste just right, cause they're made of that one perfect blend. Next time
remember this fact, son. A lucky strike is your best friend, we say. Be happy, go lucky, strike today.
That's very good, Don. Now you can put the boys back in the guardhouse there. Now, come on, kids. Let's finish the program so I can get back to my hotel and get some rest.
Rest? Why, you told me you went to bed early last night.
I did, but I didn't get much sleep. I can't understand why a ritzy hotel like the Flamingo would have such a silly telephone operator.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, when I went to bed, I left a call for 8 o'clock. The operator wanted to make it the hard way, so she called me twice at 4. I wish I'd have had 10 for a point. I'd have gotten an hour's more sleep.
Hey, wait a minute, Jackson. You're staying at the Flamingo Hotel?
Why, certainly, Phil. You know nothing but the best for me. After all, when you get to a town like Las Vegas, you want to live.
Hey, Libby, what are you laughing at?
Jack, tell him what happened when you walked in to get a room.
Oh, Mary, forget it.
Come on, Mary, tell us what happened.
Oh.
Well, I drove up to Las Vegas with Jack. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon when he pulled up to the Flamingo. I'd already reserved my room by phone, but you know Jack. He always leaves everything for the last minute.
Gee, this is a beautiful lobby, isn't it, Mary?
It sure is. A lot of people are here, too.
Say, Mary, I'm going over and talk to the room clerk. Gee, this hotel really is...
May I help you, sir?
Yes, yes, I'd like to get a room here.
Well, it's quite an honor having you visit the hotel, Mr. Benny.
Oh, you know who I am?
Yes, yes, I saw you once in the movies.
You did?
Yes, you were sitting right next to me.
Oh, well, thank you. I'd like to get a room.
Yes, sir. Now, let me see. Here's one. $250.
$250? Isn't that a kind of expensive?
Oh, that's not the price. That's the room number.
Oh, I see. It's on the second floor.
Yes, sir. It has beautifully decorated bedroom, a magnificently furnished sitting room, luxurious dressing room, and a huge entry hall.
Well, that sounds nice. What's the price on it?
$16.
Clerk, I'll loosen his collar. You push his eyes back in.
I'm all right. Now, look, clerk, I've had a...
Jack, what are you staring at?
That cash register. I've never seen anything so beautiful.
That's a slot machine.
A slot machine? Say, I've heard about them, but this is the first one I've ever seen. How do they work?
Well, you put in a nickel and pull the handle. And if two cherries come up, you get 5 nickels back.
Well, that's fair, isn't it?
And if 3 oranges come up, you get 11 nickels back.
Say, that's fine.
Now, if 3 bells come up, you get 18 nickels.
No kidding.
And if 3 bars come up, you get the jackpot.
Well, that's sensational. But supposing I put my nickel in, and none of those things you mentioned come up.
In that case, you lose your nickel.
Well, that's ridiculous. A thing like that will never catch on.
Jack, will you please hurry?
Just a minute, Mary. Now, look, clerk, I'm willing to stay here if you lower the rates. Let me speak to the manager.
Very well, he's right here. Oh. Mr. Benny, this is Mr. Schiller, the manager of the Flamingo.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Mr. Schiller.
How do you do?
Look, Mr. Schiller, I want to get a room and get some rest. I just drove all the way from Beverly Hills to Las Vegas.
I make that trip frequently. It's a beautiful drive.
It is? I mean, yes, yes. Yes, it is.
Well, Mr. Benny, if you'll give me the keys to your car, I'll have the bellboy park it.
Oh, it's that Maxwell right out in front there, huh?
Oh, is that your car?
Yes.
Then we owe you an apology. We were using it to mow the lawn.
Well, leave the grass in. It'll make the seat softer. Yeah.
course, if Schiller's going to get those kind of laughs... Now, look, Mr. Schiller. Mr. Schiller, I'm very anxious to stay at the Flamingo, but it seems that your clerk and I can't get together. He's so stubborn. Imagine him trying to charge me $16 a week.
No, no, Mr. Benny. It's $16 a day.
Well, that I won't discuss at all. Don't you have any less expensive rooms?
Yes, we have some for $5 and some for $7.
$5 and $7.
Pardon me, sir. Old clerk.
Yes, sir?
Do you have a suite available?
Oh, yes, we do. We have them for $20 a day and $30 a day.
I'll take the one for $30.
Very well, sir. Here's your key.
Thank you.
Say, clerk, who was that fellow?
He's a private from Nellis Field.
Oh. Now, what about you, Sporty? I'm still talking to Mr. Schiller.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but there's nothing I can do for you. You see, I have no authority to change the rates.
Well, there must be somebody I can talk to.
Well, here's the general manager. Oh, Mr. Walsh.
Yes.
Do you mind talking to this gentleman?
No, not at all. How do you do?
How do you do? I'm Jack Benny, star of stage, screen, and radio. See?
Oh, Jack Benny. Certainly. I saw your last picture.
Really? Did you like it?
No.
Oh, have you ever seen me on television?
Yes.
Did you like me?
No.
Oh. Well, have you ever heard me on the radio?
No.
Good, good. Now, look, Mr. Walsh, the reason I wanted to see you is because Mr. Schiller is trying to tell me that the lowest rate you have here is $5 a day.
Mr. Benny, $5 a day for a room is very reasonable.
$5 a day, but I intend to stay for 7 days.
Well, I'm sure you'd enjoy staying at the Flamingo. It costs $6 million to build.
Well, what are they trying to do, get it all back from me?
Jack. I'm leaving. Everybody in the place is looking at you.
Mary, this won't take long.
Look, Mr. Benny, I'm a busy man and I've got a lot of things to do. I'll give you a room for $4.
You're faded. I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Well, I'm sure you'll like it here. You know, I supervised the complete furnishing of the Flamingo. I saw to it that all the rooms had telephones, full-length mirrors, writing desks, beautifully carpeted floors, artistic pictures, unique lamps, tables, dressers.
Gee, are the beds comfortable?
Beds?
Yes.
Well, how do you like that? I knew I forgot something.
Well, don't worry about it. I brought an army cot with me. I'll take the $4 room.
Well, here's your key, Mr. Benny.
Thank you.
Come on, Jack. Let's go.
Oh, just a minute, Mary. I have a nickel here. I'm going to put it in the slot machine. Gee, I hope I win. I think I've got a chance. Mary! Mary, look! Look!
Jack, you hit the super jackpot!
Yeah, gee, Mary, look at all those nickels. Just a minute, I'll put them in my pocket. Oh, boy. Now, come on, Mary, let's go.
Jack, tip the bellboy who brought the bags in from the car.
You take care of it, Mary. I don't have any change. Come on, let's go.
Gentlemen, each year forest fires destroy 30 million acres of timberland. Timberland that is vitally needed to keep our country strong and to raise our production higher than ever before. Most of these fires started because someone was careless. Don't leave campfires burning. Never drop lighted matches or cigarettes. Put them out. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. Thank you. Jack, we'll be back in just a moment, but first...
let's join a happy-go-lucky fishing party. A fishing pole and Lucky Strike, ah, that's the life for me. Each Lucky's packed with smoke and joy, cause LSMFT. Yep, fine tobacco means Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
I'm out to make a perfect catch and I'm a real go-getter. I'll fish till I find Lucky Strike, for Lucky's do taste better.
I mean it. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky. Be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky. Go lucky strike today.
Friends, there's a truly enjoyable difference in a lucky. For Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Not just as good, but better. And here's why. Fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you the full enjoyment of a better tasting cigarette. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So for complete smoking enjoyment, for everything you want in a cigarette, be happy, go lucky. You'll agree with the millions of smokers who know Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's really been a lot of fun broadcasting for the boys here at the Nellis Air Force Base. And I want to thank Colonel Tacon, Captain Quinlan, Lieutenant Rawlins, and all the personnel for their wonderful cooperation. Next week, we'll be back in Hollywood, and I hope you'll all be listening.
Gee, it sure was swell being here, Mr. Benny.
Yes, it was, Dennis. I'm certainly glad that we...
Oh, Jack.
Yes.
You can go now. The part in your hair is straight again.
They're so thoughtful. Good night, Jack.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and a day in the life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show that follows immediately. The Jack Benny program is heard by Armed Forces Overseas with the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents transcribed the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris.
This is Phil. Now, here's a word from RCA Victor.
A word about money and how to make it go further with an RCA Victor combination. You'll get the equivalent of three consoles, three different kinds of fun, and yet you'll pay for just one cabinet, one sound system. RCA Victor's Rutland, for example, brings you television at its finest. 17 big inches of million-proof television. Quality proven in over 2 million homes. Second, you get both AM and FM radio with RCA Victor's new extended tone range. And third, the Rutland gives you two automatic record changers that enable you to enjoy records at all three speeds. Yes, enjoy all of these fine instruments in one fine combination at one money-saving price. See the Rutland tomorrow at your RCA Victor dealers. And say, ask your dealer for Mario Lanza's magnificent RCA Victor Red Seal album of beloved arias from his smash hit movie, The Great Caruso, available in all three speeds. A local milk company is sponsoring a beautiful child contest. The Harris children are very anxious to enter, and they are pleading with their mother to allow them to submit their photographs.
But, Mommy, why can't Phyllis and I enter this beautiful child contest? There's a $500 prize, and I'm sure one of us could win. Don't you think so, Phyllis?
I don't know about you, sis, but I'm a lead 5 cents.
Phyllis, don't be so egotistical. It isn't nice.
Your mother's right, Phyllis. Conceit is a very undesirable trait. Besides, what makes you think you're beautiful?
Well, everybody says I look like you, Daddy.
You're a witness, Mom. You know something, Alice? With her looks, she's bound to take first prize. Besides, there's nothing wrong with it. My mother entered me in a beauty contest when I was a baby.
Did you win, Daddy?
Alice, tell your daughter not to ask such stupid questions. Of course, I win it by 2 lengths. Going away. Heavy track, paid $280.
Were you a pretty baby, Daddy?
A Rembrandt. Hey, I got a picture of me when I was a year old someplace. Hey, Alice, where's that box of baby stuff of mine? You know, the one that my mother sent.
Well, it's on the desk, Phil.
Oh. Oh, yeah, here it is. Hey, let me see. The picture's among this baby stuff here someplace. Hey, look at this, girls.
What is it, Daddy?
My first teething ring.
Phil, for the last time, would you throw that ham bone away?
You ain't got no sentiment, honey. Hey, look at this. My first baby bottle. And here's the corkscrew Daddy opened it with.
Your father used that kind of a bottle for you?
We were poor. Daddy couldn't afford to buy nursing bottles, and we couldn't find a nipple to fit a fruit jar. So I was just in a terrible mess.
What's this thing, Daddy? It looks like an old map.
A map? Oh, no, a map. No, that's my baby bib.
What are all the different colors on it?
Well, these are turnip green stains. And these are hominy grit spots. And here's a little dash of cornmeal mush. Two dried black-eyed peas. And these are chopped suey stains.
Now, wait a minute. The southern stuff I can more or less understand, but where did the chop suey stains come from?
The people upstairs were Chinese, and there was a hole in our ceiling.
Never mind all that stuff, Phil. Just bring the picture out.
All right, I'm trying to find the picture. I know it's here someplace. Well, how do you like that? Look at these. A pair of bronze baby shoes. When I was 2 years old, my daddy dipped them in bronze. My mother never forgave him.
Why?
They were still on my feet when he died. That's how I became slightly bow-legged. For 2 years, they used my feet for bookends at the local library. Hey, well, looky here. Uh-oh, here it is. Here's the picture I was looking for.
Let me see it, Daddy.
Okay, here it is. This is a photo of me when I was 1 year old. I'm lying on my stomach. In the nude on a bearskin rug. Hey, cute, wasn't I?
I have to admit it's a very adorable picture.
Yeah. For years, this photo of me was in great demand. I used to autograph them and send them to the Brownies as pinup pictures.
Daddy, there's two of these pictures here. Can I have one?
Why, certainly, honey. Hey, why don't you take it and hang it up in your room?
Thank you, Daddy. Come on, Alice. Oh, Phyllis, why do you want that baby picture of Daddy?
Well, I have an idea. Mother wouldn't let us send our picture into the contest, but she didn't say we couldn't send Daddy's picture.
Yeah. He was a beautiful baby, and he's certain to win. But do you think we ought to take the chance?
What chance? If he wins, he'll be very happy.
I know, but if he loses, he'll kill himself. We won't tell him anything about it. The contest closes at 12 noon today, so we better take his picture down and enter it right now.
Okay. Oh, Mommy, can we go for a ride on our bicycle?
Yes, but be very careful and don't go too far.
Hey, Alice, wasn't it cute, the kids wanting my baby picture?
Mm-hmm.
Of course I can't blame them. Look at it again, honey. I'm so...
Phil, all you ever think about is yourself. Why can't you be like most husbands and ask me to sing?
Most of your husbands ask you to sing? Well, I want to be one of the boys. Right ahead, lay one on me.
I don't care if the sun don't shine, I'll get my lovin' in the evening time when I'm with my baby. It's no fun with the sun around, but I get going when the sun goes down and I meet my baby. That's when we kiss and kiss and kiss, and then we kiss some more. Don't ask how many times we kiss at a time like this. Who keeps score? So I don't care if the sun don't shine, I'll get my lovin' in the evening time when I'm with my baby.
So I the sun don't shine, I get my lovin' in the evening time.
When I'm with my baby,
it's no fun with the sun around, but I get going when the sun goes down.
And I meet my baby,
that's when we kiss and kiss and kiss, and then we kiss some more. Don't ask how many times we kiss at a time like this. Who keeps score?
So I don't care if the sun don't shine, I'm gonna get my lovin' in the evening time. When I'm with my baby.
Just beautiful.
Oh, did you really like my song, honey?
What song? I'm still looking at my pink little body. Oh, Phil, you pretty thing. You want to know something? I'm just about the cutest kid. Uh-oh, I'll get that. I still think it's a very cute picture. I look like a perfect little doll lying there on that bear skin.
Hi, Curly.
Oh, hello, Frankie.
What you got there?
Picture? Hey, Remley.
Hmm?
Look at it. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. Who is this hairy little monster?
That's the bear.
Oh. Who's the nude little monkey riding him?
All right, Remley. That's a picture of me when I was a baby. All mothers used to have pictures taken of their babies on a bear rug. Didn't your mother ever have one taken of you?
Oh, yeah, she did. She wanted to have it taken right after I was born, but Pop wouldn't let her. He said it was corny. But Mom kept insisting, and finally Pop gave in, and they took a nude picture of me on a bear skin.
Gee, I bet it was cute. How old were you at the time, Frankie?
34. You should have seen me lying there under that bearskin rug.
Under it?
Well, yeah, at that age, the photographer insisted. Hey, Curly, where'd you get this disgusting photograph of yourself?
My mother sent it to me.
Trying to blackmail you, huh? Look, Curly, put it away. I can't stand baby pictures.
Oh, Frankie, how can you say that? Have you no soul? Why, a baby is something delicate, something lovely to look at, and a thrill to hold. It's a thing of beauty like a well-made martini.
Maybe so, but in this picture, you look like a stale beer.
Oh. What do you know? Let me tell you something. If you saw this picture and it was... Uh-oh. Excuse me.
Who's that?
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Harris?
Yes.
This is Mr. Mannheim of the Encino Milk Company. I'm coming over with a $500 check and a photographer to take some publicity pictures of your beautiful baby.
What baby?
Your baby. His picture was just submitted to our beautiful baby contest, and I'm happy to tell you that your son won first prize.
He did?
Yes, sir. Congratulations, and I'll be over to see you and the baby later this afternoon.
Well, what do you know? Hey, Frankie, Alice, come here quick.
What?
What's the matter, Phil? What happened?
Oh, honey, I got wonderful news for you. Guess what? That beautiful baby contest was won by our son. Just think, our little son. The same little son. Wait a minute, we ain't got no son.
You're getting pretty sharp, Dad. Figure that one out all by yourself. Of course we ain't got no son. What's this all about?
Well, I don't know. It must be a mistake. Oh, gee, just think, Alice. If we had a little baby boy, he'd win $500.
Well, don't stand there, Daddy. Slip a diaper on me. Let's get down and get the loot.
Be quiet. Take your foot out of your mouth. I can't understand this. The guy knew my name. Somebody must have submitted a picture with my name on it.
Now, why should anybody want... Hey, wait a minute. Your baby picture that you gave the children had your name on it. I'll bet they submitted it to the contest.
And Curly won?
Natch, natch. Been doing it for years. Oh. Oh, Filthy, you did it again. Your face has always been your fortune. I'm in there. You...
Hey, I can use that $500. Remley?
Yeah?
We get that $500 and you and me will take a little trip to the Flamingo at Las Vegas. And we'll
now,
walk
Phil?
In.
Now, Phil? Phil, you can't accept that money. You'll be taking it under false pretenses, and that's dishonest.
Yeah. Now, when we get to Las Vegas, Curly, I got a... This magnet will stop any roulette wheel on the exact number that you...
Frankie, stop it.
Dead on.
They're offering a prize for a baby that's a baby today, not one that was born 58 years ago.
Thank you, honey, and I hope the draft board is listening. No, but Alice is right, Remley. The guy's coming over to take pictures of the baby holding their product.
So, why can't they take a picture of you holding their product?
Frankie,
hmm?
Their product is milk.
Milk? What's that, one of them new wonder drugs?
No, milk. You know, it's that white stuff that cows are so anxious to get rid of, they got four faucets working overtime.
Now, Phil, you'd better call the milk company and explain that it was a mistake. Tell them we don't have a baby. In the meantime, I'm going to find the girls and punish them for this.
Yeah, yeah, punish them and punish them good. Take their mink coats away from them for a whole week. Well, I guess I'll have to call that milk company.
Drop that phone. Crazy or something, letting $500 slip through your fingers?
But Frankie, I can't take that. I love that. Drop that. Oh, there's no television. We'll get a daytime program. Drop that phone, Nora. Don't call him now. Wait till Dr. Quaid comes by. I can't take that money. I gotta tell him it was my kid's fault in bringing the picture down. I gotta tell him the truth, otherwise I can go to jail for fraud.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Let your kids take the rap. What if they do go to jail for embezzlement?
Embezzlement?
Certainly. They deliberately brought that picture down to get a $500 prize knowing there is no such existent baby. This is definitely a case of mendamus delecti.
It is? A whole case? Remley, I can't let my kids go to jail. But when the guy comes around with the prize money, he's going to want to see the baby. Then what are we going to do?
There's only one thing we can do. We'll have to have a baby.
Which one of us is going to have it?
We'll borrow one.
Oh. I think that'd be simpler.
Sure, all we have to do. All we have to do is find one that looks like you used to look when you were a baby.
Are you kidding? They don't turn them out that way. They have lost the touch.
Curly, I guarantee to find a kid for you.
Where?
I know a dame. Her name's Mrs. Young. She has the cutest kid you ever saw, and I'm sure she'll let you borrow him.
Well, does he look like me?
He looks enough like you to fool a milk company.
Okay, but if I do manage to fool the company, I ain't gonna keep the $500. I'll give it to charity. Come on, let's go over to see Mrs. Young. Remley, what's the matter with you? Every time I listen to one of those crazy ideas of yours, I get into... I don't know what's gotten into you lately.
What's the matter?
Well, I hate to turn Mrs. Young down, but I couldn't use her kid.
Well, I don't know why. Everybody says little Fu Young's the prettiest kid in China.
Well, he is.
He doesn't look like me. He was a clever little rascal, though. Did you see Buttony's sweater with them chopsticks? Hey, Frankie, let's forget the whole thing.
No, huh? We'll make it work yet.
How are we going to make it work? Where am I going to find the baby?
You have come to the right man, Harris.
Grogan, you can find me a baby?
Oh, a baby? I thought you said a babe. I am now in the Lonely Hearts business.
Lonely Hearts business?
Yeah, yeah. See, I get a girl, I get a guy, I bring them together, I see that they get married, and then I get a commission.
Well, suppose after they meet, they don't want to get married.
Who asks them? Nobody tells me how to run my business.
You mean you force them to get married?
No, no, I don't force them. It's entirely up to them. For instance, as a guy came to me last month, he said, I don't like the girl you introduced me to. I don't want to marry her. Do me something.
What happened?
I did him something.
Well, it's nice meeting you, Grove. Good luck in your new business. If I ever need a new wife, I'm going to look you up. Thanks, Grove.
Say, Harris, if you want a new wife, get her now, because they are cutting down on production. There's liable to be a scarcity. Give you a good trading allowance on your old one.
Grogan, I'm not interested in trading her in. I like my old one, and I want to keep her.
Uh-huh. Well, look, let me put it this way. How long you had your wife?
9 years.
How long you had your car?
2 years.
Is there any reason why you should keep a wife longer than you keep a car?
I never thought of it that way. Now that you mentioned it, new model would look a little snappier. Alice ain't got much chrome. She ain't equipped with hydromatic, not to my knowledge. There's one wheel dragging a little. No. Ah, Grogan, this kid of mine is good for another 10,000 miles, I figure.
Well, I think you're making a mistake, Harris, because I got a wonderful girl for you. Oh, yeah. She's 80 years old. But you ought to see this chick.
Grogan, I ain't interested in marrying any old lady.
How about an old man? See, I got a Civil War vet who was a little nearsighted.
Look, Grogan, I don't want to get married. As a baby.
I better talk to you, Remley. You ain't married. You in the market for a wife?
Well, it depends. Got any with one head?
Well, I got one for you that is really gorgeous. Oh, yeah, beaut. She's a young widow, see, and this kid, she is very lonely. She sits all alone, all day and all night, just waiting for somebody like you, Remley.
Hey, she sounds interesting. When can I meet her?
Soon as she gets out of solitary confinement.
Remley, take the Civil War bet, will you? He may be old, but he's honest. Take it.
This poor kid was framed. It's a shame, too, because she is so beautiful and so wealthy.
Wealthy?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. She didn't steal the money, did she?
She didn't have to steal it. She got it from the insurance policies of the four husbands she murdered.
Look, Grogan, this has all been very charming, but we've got to go. We've got to find a baby.
What do you need a baby for?
Well, look, I stand to win $500 if I find a baby that looks like me. So we'll see you later.
Yeah,
thanks a lot,
bro.
Anyway.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Bye.
I like that, Harris. And I'm going to help him. If he needs a baby, I'll get him one. He said he needs a baby that looks like him, though. See, where does a guy go to find a baby with bloodshot eyes?
You mean
mean to tell me you fellas have been out trying to borrow a baby just so you could get that $500?
Yeah. But now, don't get excited, honey. We didn't find one.
Well, thank goodness. Now, when the man from the milk company gets here, tell him it was all a mistake.
All right. I'll tell him. I'll tell him how... Uh-oh, that must be the guy from the milk company. I'll let him in. I'm sorry, mister, but I...
Hiya, Harris.
Now, what are you doing here, Grogan?
Well, you said you wanted a baby, so I brought you some.
Some?
Yeah. Look out on the porch.
Holy smoke, they're crawling all over the place. Grogan, where'd you get this litter? Can't you keep them quiet? Keep them quiet. They're driving me crazy.
Hold it, just a minute.
Pipe down all of this or I'll let you have it.
You gotta be fine with kids.
Mr. Grogan, how many children do you have there?
10.
Where did you get 10 babies?
I hijacked the nursery bus.
Grogan, you can't do a thing like that.
Well, it's all right. I persuaded the bus driver to let me borrow them. Now hurry and pick one out, Harris, before he comes to.
But Grogan...
Pick one, kid, pick one.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Curly, here's one that looks a little like you.
Let me see it. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He does, doesn't he? He's pretty.
Yeah. Ain't it cute the way he's chewing on my gun?
Your gun? For heaven's sakes, take it away from him.
Don't get excited. It ain't loaded.
How do you know?
I saw him swallow the bullets on my way over. Here, take the kid, Blondie. I'll be back for him in an hour.
But, Mr. Grogan, this is terrible. Phil, do you really think this poor baby swallowed 6 bullets?
I don't know, but don't point them at me. If the kid ever burps, he'll mow us all.
Phil, take the baby and go to a doctor.
Yeah, we better take him over and get the lead out.
Alice, you take him. Hey, Alice, you take the kid. I don't want to hold him while he's... Uh-oh, come in.
How do you do? Are you Mr. Harris?
Yes, who are you?
I'm Mr. Mannheim of the milk company. I came over to see... that must be the little darling you're holding in your arms. Isn't he cute?
Do you like him?
I certainly do.
Here, you can have him. Take him over and get the lad out. You can have him.
Hey, Harris, you ought to be proud of this one. I have one at home just about the same age, and I'm certainly proud of my little Chester. Isn't he a doll? Look at that blonde hair and blue eyes and that cute little mole under his left eye. Mole under his left. Chester, my child! Harris, where did you get my baby?
Your baby?
He's supposed to be at the nursery. How did he get here?
Well, I don't know. He comes here every Sunday to take a shower. We don't ask no questions.
I don't know how this happened, Harris, but I'm going to have you prosecuted for abduction. I'll see that you suffer for this. Right now, I'm taking my baby home.
Okay, but be careful. Don't drop him or hold him near an open flame. He's liable to go off.
What do you mean?
This may come as a surprise to you, but your little Chester is loaded.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Now the old soldier will never fade away. Now General MacArthur's historic speech to Congress lives forever on RCA Victor records. Yes, the speech which stirred the nation as few speeches in our history have ever done is now yours to hear again and again in a superb RCA Victor album, which captures with supreme fidelity every moving tone in the General's voice. The ring of it when he expressed his convictions, the emotion in it when he paid his tribute to our sons in Korea, the unforgettable gallantry of it when he said his soldiers farewell to us all. Your family will always treasure this magnificent RCA Victor living document of a great American in his most dramatic hour. And you can buy your copy now. Yes, incredible as it seems, RCA Victor has already flown the MacArthur album in all record speeds, 78, long play, and 45, to every corner of the country. Get yours at your own RCA Victor dealers.
This is Phil again. You were such a wonderful audience, we're a little late, folks. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This program was produced and transcribed by Paul Phillips. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or records, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television.
Here, Hedda Hopper, next over many NBC stations.
All right, Don, I'm ready. You want me to take the opening, huh?
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2016. I thought I would come on and do a new intro for this episode for a number of reasons. One being that when I presented it before, I talked in the podcast about how the sound quality wasn't quite up to snuff. Well, luckily the folks at Cobalt Club have found a higher quality transcription and probably tweaked it a little bit to make it even sound better. So this is actually a really nice sounding episode. It's not perfect. It still has, you still hear some hiss and things going on in there, but it's far superior to what we presented last time. So I'm delighted to present an upgraded episode with higher sound quality. I love listening to these episodes as we go through and comparing them and trying to find the best quality sound I can for you. We've upgraded them many times over the years. I don't know if we're ever going to find things that are actually better than these, but who knows? I didn't know last time we'd find something better, so maybe in 5 years I even have better quality sound. Anyway, today's episode is a unique, wonderful Jack Benny episode in that it features guest Danny Kaye. And Danny Kaye, of course, was in what's surprising is you would think of him as one of those actors who'd be in 100 movies or something. He was only in 17 films, but those 17 films left a lasting impression on the public, and so people pretty much know who Danny Kaye is. I describe Danny Kaye, he has that crispness of timing of a Jack Benny or a Fred Astaire, and yet he has the goofy, crazy, over-the-top quality of like a Robin Williams. So his combining those is just crazy. And his delivery in his movies is fantastic. And he seems to have retired at a very young age, more or less, because he continued to live on much after his movie career. He'd already jettisoned that in some ways. I know that he was around in the 70s because he was partial owner of the Mariners baseball team out here on the, in Seattle. And he brought so much to each performance he was in. He was so over the top in some ways, like I say, like Robin Williams would just sort of be on, and that's what Danny Kaye sort of was to me as well. He did have his own radio show in 1945 and 46. It only ran for a couple of years. It was during the height of his popularity too, I think, and so I don't know if he had time to do it as much as he wanted. He was also trying to entertain the troops at the same time, so lots of things were going on, and so he had lots of guests hosting his show, including the whole Jack Benny troupe at one point, and I brought that to you a few different times. But Anyway, without further ado, here is Danny Kaye and Jack Benny and the gang with higher sound quality. Oh, and one more thing. I haven't asked for donations in a while, and we haven't been getting in a whole lot. So it would be great if folks could donate, because it still costs a lot of money to put on our podcasts. We do have the new $75 level where you have access to my whole audio library, including all my podcasts and my whole video library. And the video library is getting quite large with our Johnny Carson section has over 100 Tonight Show performances in it, which is wonderful. And we also have that in our audio section where of those shows available at the $50 level if you just want to hear the audio to hundreds of Tonight Show episodes from the early 70s until the early 90s. Anyway, if you go to our website, go to buckbenny.com, and if you go down on the right-hand side, you'll see a PayPal donation button where you can enter any amount you want, up to $10,000, which we'd love to have. And then below it is a pull-down menu. If you'd rather use the pull-down menu and pick the level you want to donate at, you can do that too. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy this great, great episode of The Jack Benny Show. And what a great week this is going to be with presentations. I'm really excited. This is one of our better weeks that we've had in a long time, just with solid show after solid show. So if you haven't listened to last night's shows or the night before shows, make sure you do that, because they were really stellar. And we will see you folks next time.
The Jack Benny Program. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. Remember, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
LSMFT. LSMFT. LSMFT.
You said it.
Yes, sir.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
At 49, American.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, year after year, the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco means more real deep down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, last night Jack, Mary, Phil, and Dennis went to a neighborhood theater to see a special showing of Danny Kaye's new picture, The Kid from Brooklyn. So let's go back and pick them up as they leave the theater.
Oh, gee, that was a wonderful picture, wasn't it, fellas?
Yeah, that Danny Kaye's a panic. He's really clever.
You said it, Phil. He had that audience in stitches.
If you ask me, that guy's one of the funniest comedians in show business.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing, nothing. I can't figure you out, Jackson. Every time another comedian gets laughs, it burns you up.
I'm not burned up.
Well, the least you could do is say you liked it.
I liked it, I liked it. We came to see the picture, we saw it, now let's forget it.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack. Every time you see somebody else in the movies, you get mad.
I do not.
You do, too. He even got mad at that 74-year-old man who married a 16-year-old girl, and he was only in the newsreel.
Well, he didn't have to look so smug. Now, let's forget it.
Oh, come on, Jackson. Snap out of it.
Phil, there's nothing to snap out of, believe me. If Danny Kaye's picture was good, I'd be the first one to say so. As a matter of fact, just last week, Mary and I went to the movies, and when we came out, I raved about it.
That was your own picture.
Oh.
And you were mad halfway through that until you put on your glasses and found out it was you.
Never mind. Dennis, did you think Danny Kay was funny?
I don't know. I could hardly hear him with all those peanuts. Cracking, cracking, cracking.
Who was eating peanuts?
I was.
Well, you didn't miss anything, Dennis. What a title for a picture. The Kid from Brooklyn.
Look, Jackson, I remember last year when you and I went to see Danny's other picture, Wonder Man. You didn't like that either.
Wonder Man? Of course I didn't like it. The plot was ridiculous. Imagine expecting people to believe that a man can die and his ghost can come back and talk to his twin brother.
Jack, if you're going to pick stories apart, what about the picture you made called The Meanest Man in the World?
Well, at least in that picture, I didn't die.
You did the night I saw it, Bob.
Don't change the subject. We're talking about Danny Kaye. Those specialty numbers on his radio program. Oh, brother.
What do you mean, oh, brother? I like the way he sings. A git got giddle and a git got sand, a dit got diddle and a dit got sand.
Some talent. A git got giddle and a git got sand, a dit got diddle and a dit got sand. On my program, I've got two guys that do that and sell tobacco at the same time. And he thinks he's got something new. Wonder Man, what a plot. Imagine a ghost coming in.
Hey, Jackson, look out for that taxi.
Why don't you watch where you're going? You taxi drivers think you own the whole street. I got a good mind
to... Jack, calm down, for heaven's sake. Don't pick a fight with a taxi driver.
Well, all right. Okay, driver, get going.
Yes, sir.
Now they watch where they're driving.
Well, I'm going to leave you here, Jackson.
Me too.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, Jackson, did you hear what Hedda Hopper said about me on her radio program last Monday night?
Yes, Phil, I heard it.
Yeah, she said I had charm, talent, personality.
She said Alice had charm, talent, and personality.
Community property, Father. Community property.
Phil, go home, will you?
Okay. So long, Jackson.
So long.
I'll walk as far as the next corner with you, Mr. Benny.
All right, kid, come on. You know, Dennis, I hate to be critical of other people's pictures, but I was certainly disappointed in Danny Kaye's.
Well, the people in the audience were sure laughing.
I know, but you can't always go by. Dennis, stop jumping over the fireplace. You can't always go by an audience reaction. Now, Danny Kaye had nerve enough to make another picture after Wonder Man. What a fantastic plot that was. Imagine a ghost coming back to this world.
Well, you were a ghost and you came back and the horn blows at midnight.
Well, at midnight, it's possible. When did you see my picture, kid?
I saw it about 5 years ago.
5 years ago? I only made it 2 years ago.
I didn't even like it then.
What are you talking about? In the first place, Dennis. Dennis, stop jumping over fire plugs. You act just like a kid. Why don't you grow up? Look at Shirley Temple. Look at Freddie Bartholomew. Now, come on, walk like a man. Well, here's where I have to leave you, Mr. Benny. See you tomorrow at rehearsal. Oh, you forgot your line. Okay, well, good night, kid.
Good night.
Ooh. That's funny. Dennis made it. I guess this is a bigger hydrant.
Can I help you up, Mr. Milan?
I'm not Mr. Milan. I can get up myself. Ya-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum, da-dum, dum-dee-da-da-dum, da-dum, da-dee.
Hey, Jack, Jack.
Huh?
It's me, Jack, Danny Kaye.
Oh, Danny, Danny. Gosh, Danny, this is a coincidence running into you. I just saw that special showing of your new picture.
Oh, you did, Jack? How'd you like it?
Danny, I thought it was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. You were sensational in it.
I was?
Danny, believe me, I haven't enjoyed anything that much in years. My side still hurt from laughing.
That's funny.
What's funny?
Well, I just ran into Dennis Day, and he said you thought it was lousy.
Oh, Dennis Day. Where'd you see him?
I caught him in midair over a fire plug.
And Dennis told you that I said it was lousy?
Yeah.
Certainly, it's amazing what kids will repeat. Repeat. I mean, make up. Look, Danny, what he probably heard me say was that even though I thought this picture, the kid from Brooklyn, was terrific, it still wasn't quite as sensational as your last picture, Wonder Man.
He told me you thought Wonder Man stung, too.
Well, tell me, Danny, have you made any other pictures?
Yes, Up in Arms, and That's Your Last Chance.
Well, look, Danny, you know Dennis is a silly kid and doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, Mary and Phil were with me, and if you want to know what I thought...
I ran into them, too.
Well, Danny, they were only kidding. Your new picture is a riot. See, I thought it was funnier than Random Harvest.
Wait a minute, Jack. Random Harvest wasn't funny.
That's what I mean, Danny. In fact, you have so much talent that
hey,
I...
Bud.
Huh?
Can you just tell me what a First National Bank is?
The First National Bank?
Yeah.
You go down to the next corner, and it's one block over.
Thanks, Bud.
You're welcome. I wonder what he wants at a bank this time of night.
I don't know. He must be a doctor with that black satchel.
Yeah. I thought I recognized him, but I couldn't tell with that mask over his face. Oh, well.
What were we talking about, Jack? Me or you?
Let's see. Oh, yes. Now, Danny, don't let this go to your head, but you've got so much talent that you and I ought to team up and make a picture together. Why, you and I can have comedy all sold up. You and I can be the biggest thing in pictures. I can see our names in lights right now. I and you.
What happened to you and I?
That is not important now. The main thing is that Kay and Benny would be the greatest team in show business.
What about Crosby and Hope?
Those golfers? I mean, what would they be without Dorothy L'Amour?
You know, say, come to think of it, Jack, you're right. They started to make a picture without her, but Crosby looked so bad in a sarong.
No kidding, eh?
Damn, Paramount warned them, too. If they tried that trick again, their next picture would be The Road to Warner Brothers.
I know what you mean. I made that trip myself. In fact, Paramount made the San Fernando Valley my home. They didn't even, you know, they don't even give you a bus ticket. But anyway, Danny... I wonder what that explosion was.
It's the First National Bank.
How do you know?
The night watchman just flew by.
Oh, yes. Anyway, Danny, if you and I could...
Hey, Bud.
Huh?
Where's the Second National Bank?
Go straight down to the next corner and then three blocks to your left.
Thanks.
He must be a stranger in town, isn't he? Anyway, Danny, as I said before, I'm convinced, and you and I ought to make a picture together.
Oh, I think you're right, Jack. And you know what? I've got a wonderful song that'll fit right into it. It's called Concerto for Tongue and Orchestra.
Concerto for Tongue and Orchestra?
Yeah, would you like to hear it?
Right out here on the street?
Sure, that's why I carry this phonograph. I never know when somebody's going to ask me to sing.
Oh, well, yes, go ahead, Danny, let's have it.
All right. Don't go away, Jack, French horn.
Danny, that was swell. I'm sure it'll be a big hit for us.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jack. Look, I've got to run along now. I'll see you later.
Okay, so long, Danny.
So long. Oh, Jack, before I leave, since you just saw my new picture as a matter of professional courtesy, I think it's only fair that you shouldn't have to pay. So I'd like to return the price you paid for admission.
Oh, no, Danny, I wouldn't think of it.
Oh, but Jack, I insist.
No, there's no use talking, Danny. I don't want to. I went to see your picture, nobody forced me, and it was well worth the money, which, including the tax, came to 65 cents. Oh, I'm sorry. I let it slip. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad you did, Jack. And here's your money, 65 cents.
Thanks. And, Danny, I know that you saw my last picture, so I'm going to return the price you paid for admission.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Jack. The manager already did.
Then we're even. Well, so long, Danny.
So long, Jack.
Oh, Danny, there's only one thing. When we make a picture together, let's not do a fantasy like Wonder Man.
Why? What was wrong with Wonder Man?
Well, now that we're partners, I can talk frankly. Wonder Man was so unbelievable, a ghost coming back and talking to his twin brother. You can't get away with stuff like that.
Oh, I don't know. I believe in ghosts.
You do?
Sure.
But, Danny, a ghost can't actually come back to Earth and walk around and talk almost like a human being.
What about Fred Allen?
A ghost? Danny. A ghost looks that bad? Well, thanks, kid. Now we're really partners. So long, Danny.
So long, Jack.
So long. No, darn it. Door's locked. I forgot my key. Rochester, open the door.
Coming, boss. I'll have to hang up now, honey. Goodbye, honey. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Rochester, open the door.
Sorry, boss. I was busy on the phone.
I heard you. Who are you talking to?
The milkman.
The milkman. Rochester, do you expect me to believe you were blowing kisses to the milkman?
Why do you think we've been getting butter lately? Say, boss, how was Danny Kaye's picture?
Oh, it was all right. Much better than his other one. You know, that Wonder Man. What a picture, Wonder Man. Who believes in ghosts?
Who believes in which?
Ghosts. You don't believe in ghosts, do you?
Not exactly, but when I shake hands with somebody and say, give me a little skin, I want to feel it.
Rochester, that's not what I'm talking about. You're not afraid of ghosts, are you?
I'm afraid of anything that's overdrawn at the blood bank.
Oh, that's being childish.
Maybe so, boss, but that's one of my idiosyncrasies. Well, if you don't need me anymore, I think I'll go to bed.
Go ahead, Rochester. I'm going to the library to relax for a while. Is the phonograph in there?
Yes, boss.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Hello, Polly.
Hello, hello, hello.
Now, let's see. Where's that record that I always like to play? Oh, here it is. Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
Can't you hear me calling Caroline?
American.
Ah, yes, Caroline. Where they grow the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder tobacco.
So beautiful.
Yes, Caroline. Remember that day in the woods when I carved that heart in the tree and put in the initials L.S. Loves M.F.T.?
How romantic.
And from that day on, we knew that L.S. M.F.T. stood for Lucky Strike Means Fine Tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy and easy and easy and easy and easy and easy and easy,
oh,
and easy
darn it.
On the draw.
That's better.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
What a wonderful record. I wish I had a girl here so I could dance to it. Well, I think I'll...
Free and easy, and easy, and easy, and easy.
Polly.
And on the draw.
Now go to sleep, Polly. It's getting late.
I think I'll read for a while before I go to bed.
Let's see. What books have I got here? Here's one. I Stand Condemned. Oh, I read that a few weeks ago. About the man who went to the electric chair and he had three lovely children. Apple, Pan, and Dowdy. Let's see, what else is there here? Here's one. Old Ghost Tales. Silly. Old Ghost Tales. Now, let's see what it says. Note. For those who do not believe in ghosts, this book is respectfully dedicated in the hope that the authenticated evidence contained within these pages will dispel all doubts on the subject.
On the subject, on the subject.
Quiet, Polly. As the last dying gas leaves the body, the spirit is released into the cosmic atmosphere. This ectoplasm, when returning to its terrestrial habitat, often takes the form of an apparition clothed in white...
Ah! Rochester!
I'm just changing the bed sheet.
You don't have to wear it over your head. Now go to bed.
Okay. Good night, boss.
Good night. It was in 1887, on the night of January 4, in the old McPherson mansion, when the secret of the returning squire first came to... Oh, I don't know why I'm reading this anyway. There's no such thing as a ghost.
I wouldn't be too sure of that, Benny.
Well, I know what a... What? Who am I talking to? Who are you?
I'm you.
Me?
Yeah. I'm your ghost. The ghost of Jack Benny.
But I'm not dead yet.
That's all right. I can wait.
You can... Oh, what's the matter with me? First thing I know, I'll be talking to myself. Serves me right for even reading them. But then, let's see. I wonder if there is anything to this story. The McPherson mansion had been vacant for 15 years, when suddenly one night a light appeared in the attic. That was the beginning of... Who's that?
Hello, Jackson.
Who are you?
I'm the ghost of Diamond Jim Brady.
Diamond Jim Brady?
Yes, Jackson. I made something out of life. I ate well and drank well. I was surrounded by beautiful women. Nightclubs and cabarets threw open their doors to me because I always picked up every check in the house. I had fun.
Is that fun?
You don't understand that, do you, Jackson?
Well, let me tell you something, Jim Brady. If you didn't stuff yourself with that rich food, you might be alive today like I am.
I'd rather be a ghost like I am. Get wise to yourself, Jackson. Money is made to spend, so spend it. Spend, spend, spend.
I should have him in my audience. Maybe he's right. Maybe I ought to... Oh, no, I don't want to start inflation. But then... Oh, what's the matter with me? I don't believe in ghosts anyway. This is all in my mind. Imagine a ghost... I think I'll go upstairs. Wait a minute. That sounds like music in the distance. Violin music.
That's her right, Mr. Betty. That's what she is. Beautiful violin music.
What? Who are you?
I am the ghost of Antonio Stradivarius.
Stradivarius, the greatest violin maker that ever lived.
Yes, Mr. Benny. All of my life, I work, I live, I die just to make that violin a beautiful instrument. For 90 years, I put my heart and a soul in it. And in 5 minutes, you break.
But Antonio...
Mr. Benny, I beg you... I plead with you, give up with the violin.
But, Tony...
Please, in the name of a Paganini, in the name of every musician, I beg you, don't play the violin. I am so tired of turning over into my grave. Please, don't play no more.
Look out. Look out, Mr. Stradivarius. You can't go through that door. It's locked.
He went through it anyway. Gee, I know I'm not a Fritz Kreisler or a Heifetz, but I'm not a Spike Jones either. Well, this serves me right for going to see Danny Kaye's picture. What? Who are you?
I'm the ghost of Danny Kaye's twin brother. You saw me in Wonder Man.
But what are you doing on Earth?
Goldwyn picked up my option.
But even so, why did you leave heaven?
Some guy kept blowing a horn at midnight and drove me nuts.
Oh, this must be a trick. I still don't believe you're the ghost of Danny Kaye's twin brother.
Oh, you don't, eh? Do you want me to prove it?
Yes.
Stop it! What's the matter with me? Danny! Danny, Stradivarius! Diamond Jim! Danny!
Here you are, boss. Some ham, cheese, and bologna.
What?
I heard you had company, so I made some sandwiches.
No, no, Roger. It was just me and three ghosts.
Oh, in that case, I'd better... What?
Roger, just come back here!
Yeah, wait for me!
That's ridiculous. What are they afraid of? I'm going to finish this book. The McPherson Mansion had been vacant for 15 years when suddenly one night a light appeared in the attic. Then a terrible scream rang out, and they knew that old McPherson had turned to avenge the betrayal.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first, here is my good friend, L.A. Speed Ring.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And today, tomorrow, always. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Take a tip from the independent tobacco experts. Men like Mr. Joseph H. Burnett, independent tobacco auctioneer of Buffalo Springs, Virginia, who said,
"As a tobacco auctioneer, I have sold over 240 million pounds of tobacco. And year after year, I've seen American buy that fine leaf that makes for fine smoking. I personally have smoked Lucky's for 12 years.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And independent tobacco experts like Mr. Burnett can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that light, that fine, that naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's program are Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. And Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49 out of 49, American.
Basil Rysdale speaking for the makers of Lucky Strike. L.S.M.F.T. 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 Remember, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Thanks very much, Danny, but I got to rush now, and I'll see you later.
All right, Jack.
I have to run over to another studio. You know, Luella Parsons just begged me to be on her program tonight. Sometimes I wish I weren't so irresistible. Good night, everyone.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.